Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We are excited and we welcome you into our meeting. Lord, your presence is what we need. And Lord, we thank you because you've given us an opportunity to hear your word. May your word instruct us. May your word correct us. May your word, Almighty God, give us the energy that we need to run in this year in the name of Jesus. We are grateful for another chance to hear your word, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to tonight's meeting. So I'm just going to share my screen so that you can see what we've prepared for this week. Amen. I'm so excited. I'm really happy because, oh man, I've been waiting. I've been chilling, I couldn't wait to share what I'm about to share with you all. And I believe that you're gonna have an amazing time, right? Okay. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Wonderful IBS. Okay, so we're sharing the screen, eh? With my document. Yeah, so you're all gonna see the screen pretty soon. Just give me a minute. And okay, there we go. Ah, thank God. Okay, so confirm with me in the chat if you can see what's on your screen so that I know that I'm not the only one that can see what's on the screen. So confirm, yes, you can. Okay, so we're looking at the power of vision. Okay, let's move on. So last week we learned the source of vision. Tonight we're going to look at overcoming roadblocks of vision. Next week, we're going to look at the principles of vision. And the other week, we are still going to look at the principles of vision. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is us, wonderful IBS. Look at yourselves. You all look amazing. And hey, this is like the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? When you see yourselves here, it's like, hey, I made it. So this is you. Yeah, this is you. We can see you, Lois. But yes, this is you. Okay. And then this is the rest of you, right? And I know, of course, not everybody's here yet, but you're going to make it. Everybody's going to make it onto the Hall of Fame until we have every member represented. Praise the Lord. You know that we have eight countries that are being represented in IBS. Yeah, so invite more people so that we can be everywhere. Amen. So my name is Robbie Makasa, and by God's wonderful grace, I am a mechatronics engineer. I'm a graphic designer. I'm an author, and I'm the president of IBS. I'm a guitar instructor. And most importantly, I am a teacher of the Word of God. Welcome to tonight's meeting. So let's get right into it and see the things that we need to look out for, right? The things that make us. Or that can be stumbling blocks, the things that make people fail to pursue their visions, their goals, their dreams, and all that kind of stuff, right? Okay, so number one, there are three things. And then what I've done is that I've put these three things like as a subject, and then underneath its subject, there's a sub-subject, right? Okay, so one of the reasons why people fail to actually fulfill what they're meant to fulfill is number one, not understanding the nature of vision. Number two, not recognizing the cost of vision. And number three, not knowing the principles of vision. This is why in IBS we do series, right? Everything that we teach here is connected to the next thing. So what you learn tonight, you're going to want to now know the principles of vision, which we're going to start learning next week. Praise the Lord. So it's very important that you understand the nature of your vision. Last week, I mentioned that every one of us has a specific functionality here on earth because I mentioned that God is a God of vision and it gives each person an assignment they're supposed to do. When you look at the Bible, whenever God spoke to man, there was a specific something. A specific agenda that God wanted man to do. Praise the Lord. Let's start with the first man that ever lived, Adam. So God creates everything he needs to create. He's made a platform for man to live on, the earth and everything that you need, right? So man can breathe. There's oxygen, there's plants, there's the beast of the air, the beasts of the land, pardon me, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all these magnificent creatures. So God says, let us make man in our own image. Let us make him in our likeness. Very beautiful, right? Let us make him in our likeness. And then he says, after he creates Adam in his likeness, I like to mention one of ideas that when God wanted to make you, he used himself as a template. This is why your life is supposed to be lived with so much meaning. Praise the Lord. There is no person that's an accident. So God is thinking, I'm going to make man and I'm going to use myself as a template to fashion somebody who's going to function like me, who's going to look like me. Praise the Lord. So let us make man in our image. So Adam is created. The Bible says, I'm paraphrasing in Genesis 2, verse 15. It says, God placed the man in Eden so that he could tend the garden. Amen. So here you notice, ladies and gentlemen, that when Adam is created, there's a specific purpose that God created the man for. He's supposed to take care of the garden. And look, when you're thinking about Eden, I don't want you to think of it as some little thing like where you grow vegetables. You know what I mean? I think maybe sometimes our ideas of Eden is a place where you grow vegetables or tomatoes. And but really, Eden was the domain that Adam was supposed to exercise his dominion. So it's a place, and God says, this is where you're going to exercise what I've given you, what I've placed in your heart, what I've given you to do. So Eden becomes your area where you exercise that dominion. Praise the Lord. So we see that Adam begins to function. Follow me. So when you're reading Genesis 2, verse 19, the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing. The Bible says that God brought the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. What? So when mosquitoes are bothering you at night, blame Adam. He gave them the name mosquito. Praise the Lord. The cockroaches that sometimes terrorize our houses, Adam named those things. So God says, I'm gonna bring these animals. And then what I'm going to do is that Adam is going to give them names. The Bible says to see what Adam would name them. So God wants to share his vision with all of you. Praise the Lord. He wants to share certain things with you. So you have to be in a position to be somebody that God can entrust certain things with. Imagine God entrusting you with his resources. What? I think that's the most beautiful thing ever. Praise the Lord. So that's Adam. And so you see Adam functioning. Amen. So he understands the vision that God has given you. So even us, you need to be able to understand what God has called you to do so that each time you live your life, you know that God wants me to serve him. When you read in Psalm 90, verse 12, the Bible says this is David, I think he's praying. So he says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's a very important prayer because all you have is 24 hours in a day. All you have is 7 days in a week, 30 days in a month, 12 months in a year, right? And the way you live your life, you have to make it count. What am I doing now that's getting me closer to what God has placed in my heart? What am I doing now that's getting me closer to the goals I have for this year? How many of us have goals for 2025 already? Goals and objectives. If you haven't written them down, write them down. Tomorrow on Saturday, I'll be teaching, I'll be sharing with you the vision. For IBS in 2025, I'll be sharing with you the objectives for IBS as a whole. And then I'm also going to share with you my objectives personally as a leader here in IBS, right? I'm going to share that. Please write them down, Arlene. It's very important. Don't be shy. because tomorrow I'm gonna share with you what we'll be doing in IBS. And it's very important. I'm gonna show you how to write down goals, because goals and objectives are very different things. Praise the Lord. Okay. So when you are looking at things that make people overcome, or obstacles that may come in the ways, because people have not understood the nature of vision. Number two, not recognizing the cost of vision. The vision that God has given you is going to cost you something. Yeah. It'll cost you something. Praise the Lord. Yeah, vision is costly. Oh my goodness. It'll cost you something. There's something that you need to pay the price. So sometimes people set all these goals. I want to do this. I want to be able to do that. But then a lot of times they don't calculate what they need to do in order to get to that place. That's how come Jesus Christ is telling people to say, look, how can you build without calculating the cost of this and that? So maybe some of us have a goal this year to lose weight. So what are you doing to help you lose weight? Are you watching your eating habits? Are you resting enough? Are you exercising? Right? So these are some of the things. So what are you doing? I want to have a flat belly. People say, I want to have a flat tummy. It's flat tummy, right? I want to have a flat tummy. So do you know the cost of having a flat tummy? Praise the Lord. Okay, and then the third one is not knowing the principles of vision. So let's get into the first one. Number one, not understanding the nature of vision. So I did mention that the main thing about vision is that it is specific. So even as I'm teaching, I'm going to teach you the difference between vision, goals, and a mission so that you don't confuse the two. I'll give an example. Your vision can be to win people to Christ. That's a mission. A vision is very specific. All of us should be able to win people to the Lord. It can't be Robbie's vision alone, or Claudette's vision alone, or maybe it's Michelle's vision, or it's Anthony's vision. No. God said in the Bible, go out there and make disciples of all nations. It's something that God has given to everyone. It's not specific to certain people or to pastors or to leaders or certain people in the body of Christ. It's been given to every follower of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why every one of us should be thinking, what can I do to help somebody know Jesus? What can I do to make somebody know about the Lord? Because it's very selfish, you know, to love the Lord, to enjoy the presence of the Lord, to enjoy having a relationship with Jesus. And then we don't extend that to those who are outside. Praise the Lord. So he says, go out there and make disciples of all nations. And then he says, teaching them to observe my commandments. Amen. So you need to understand that vision is very specific. Let's go back to the Bible, give some examples of vision. God tells a certain gentleman and says, look, you're gonna go to a certain place, you're gonna tell these people about me. The guy decides not to go, he goes to another place, decides, Lord, I'm not going. I'm going to go somewhere else. And some of us run away from what God has given us to do. No, I'm not a people person, so I don't feel like I can talk to people. And yet God wants you to be in a place where you have to talk to people, right? So this man runs away, gets on another boat. And then when he's on that boat, ladies and gentlemen, there's trouble for the people there. And then he tells them, look, I'm the reason why. I'm the reason why you are facing these problems. And then he tells them, look, throw me into the sea. And you'll be okay. So they do that. And then now a fish comes and swallows him. Imagine the conversation that Jonah had with his wife if he was married. Oh, man, imagine it. Jonah comes back after three days and three nights. Not even 3 days and three nights, because he has to go to the place God has sent him. So maybe let's say he comes back after a week. The wife is there. Where have you been? And Jonah's like, listen, baby, so I was traveling and a great fish swallowed me. Like, sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I wonder the kind of conversation that, like, imagine Abraham. He tries to sacrifice his son. Like, what kind of conversation did they have? So, like, Dad, we need to talk about what happened. How come? How come I was almost sacrificed today? Praise the Lord. But what God wants you to do is very, very specific. And I mentioned last week that when you know what it is, you're going to overcome things like jealousy, things like envy. You're going to overcome things like wanting to be like another person because God has given you something to do. It helps you overcome those kind of things. But when you don't know who you are, you'll be obsessing over wanting to be like someone else. Imagine the fish wanting to be like a bird. So the fish is thinking, I wish I could fly. And let me tell you something, as long as you're comparing yourself to another person, you're always going to look like you're not doing enough. You're always going to feel like you're not enough. Because look, a bird flying is beautiful, but it was created for the air. That's how come you don't see a bird struggling in the air. You don't see it trying to fly. It was built for flight. So when you see it, it's beautiful. People literally go to watch animals do what they were built to do, and we are amazed. Praise the Lord. We are amazed because it's so amazing and awesome. But the animal really is just doing what it was created to do. So nothing exciting about it because that's what it's been created to do. When you see a fish swimming, or maybe a shark, a whale, and it's doing all these things. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the ocean and then, all of us are black here, right? And then you decide, I want to go see the sharks. I want to swim with the sharks and the whales. Personally, if I'm there and you're telling me that that's what you want to do, you want to swim with the sharks, why? Like, why do you want to swim with the sharks? And then, I don't know if you've ever watched the news sometimes when people are reporting these things. A 55-year-old white man was eaten by a shark. And then people are shocked. Like, why are we shocked? This guy was literally in the domain of these great animals. So why are we shocked? Why should we be sad? I'm not going to be sad. I'm going to be thinking, you know what? You deserve it. Because why are you in the ocean? Should we cry about such things, ladies and gentlemen? No. This person refused to understand that there are great animals in this water. So why should you go in? This will understand that black people don't like the water. Praise the Lord, it's for your safety. Amen. So you need to understand the nature of your vision. And then sometimes the reason why people don't fulfill what God wants them to fulfill is because you misunderstand the difference between vision, goals, and a mission. Amen. So let me define the differences. A mission is a general statement of purpose, and it declares the overall idea of what you want to accomplish. I'll give an example. When Jesus says, go out there and make disciples of all nations, it's a mission. That's why it's called the Great Core Mission. This is why I was mentioning that that can't be a vision because we've all been called to do that. Praise the Lord. A vision is a very precise statement that has specific emphasis and definable boundaries. Let's go back to the Bible so that we can understand. God told Jonah to go to a specific place to do specific things for a specific people. Praise the Lord. That's how come when you see Paul writing the letters, he says, I'm an apostle of God. So number one, he understands who he is. He's an apostle. And then he says, I've been called to preach to the Gentiles, which we are. Okay, so Gentiles are those who don't have any Jewish background, isn't it? And then Peter says, I've been called to preach to the Jews. So the vision is very specific. You're going to go to a specific kind of people, you're going to do specific kind of things. And then when you understand your vision, it's easy to provide for the vision that God has called or has designed for you. So, and you don't need to fight with, what do I need in order for this to work out? Because God has called you in that thing. It's not supposed to be too much of a struggle. So sometimes people get frustrated because they're doing things that God doesn't want them to do. Amen. Imagine a bird trying to be a fish. Or imagine a fish trying to be a bird. Have you ever gotten, or you look at fish, right? And then you take it out of the water. Do you see it struggling? You can literally see that this thing was meant for the water. It's struggling. It's literally suffocating. It's dying. You know, when I was younger, right? I didn't know that fish were meant for water. So I was taken to a place. I was with my dad. So I'm looking at this fish and I'm like, oh wow, so beautiful. And it's those little not something very not those golden fish or something like that. No, just normal little fishes, right? So I'm there with my dad, and then I take it out of the water, and then I'm so excited. I'm like, wow, dad, look, I got this fish. And then my dad's looking at me and he's saying, look, it's dying. And I'm thinking, no, it's having fun because it was struggling. And I thought we're actually having a good time. Later on, that fish died. Yeah, it died. It was very tiny. And then it died. It passed on. We didn't have time for a funeral. But lesson learned. Praise the Lord. The fish was meant for the water. Amen. It was meant for, I thought it was having fun. Like, you know, I found a friend. I'm gonna call you Fishy or Nemo, right? Nemo, perfect name for a fish. But the little fish died, and we couldn't even give it a proper goodbye. So this is what happens when people don't function where God has placed them. You literally die. You're not dying literally, but there's something about you that's not bringing life because you've placed yourself where you're not meant to be. Some of you want to marry somebody that's not of your race. Nothing wrong with that. But you grew up in Zambia. You've never left the country, and somehow you feel I should marry a man with blue eyes. Where is he going to come from? Praise the Lord. Like some people have never even left Lusaka. Don't even feel bad. It's okay, right? You know, you're meant to be here in Lusaka. And then you see people say things like, Lusaka men are like this. Ladies and gentlemen. But you know, you are born and bred here. Your life is here. So what's happening? Praise the Lord. Look, you don't need to have these funny ideas, even about relationships. So let me talk about relationship for a minute. The reason why some of us are single is because we have unrealistic expectations. That's number one. Number two, because we failed to heal from past relationships. And so every person that comes along, we're looking at them in the lens of this guy did this to me. So I have this idea of how men are. I have this idea of how women are. Praise the Lord. So you've made yourself become your own obstacle to having a good relationship. How can you find a partner? Just start talking with people. Just say, hi, how are you? How are you doing? Start a conversation. It's not hard. Amen. So don't make your life difficult. Praise the Lord. But I'm not even joking here. If you have a certain belief that men are evil, like every man is bad, you're going to find it very hard to relate with men. Amen. You're going to find it very hard also to relate with men, women, if you have a certain ideology that this is how women are. Praise the Lord. So you keep saying, oh no, my experiences, Robbie, you don't understand. I've had, you know, the last relationships I was in. This is what happened. I leave. This statement is so funny. But yes, I love men. That's what somebody says in the comment. That's beautiful. Please love the men, love the sisters, love the brothers. Praise the Lord. The Bible encourages love your neighbor as you love yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you need to understand what a vision is. You need to understand what a goal is. There is a man who's commented. So Those who have eyes, do what you want with what I've shared. Okay, so let's move on. Another thing, so we're still under not understanding the nature of vision. Praise the Lord. But come and send me messages if it's happening, eh? Yeah, come send me a message. I say, you know, Robbie, what you talked about, it's actually happening. So number one or number two, engaging in wishful thinking. Praise the Lord. Another reason why people aren't specific about that vision is engaging in wishful thinking. This is what I was talking about. The wanting somebody with blue eyes. And then, you know, I just want to also say that if you're gonna date, by the way, I don't want you to get the vibe that this guy doesn't want us to have relationship beyond our culture experiences or our race. No, that's not it. Please, you are in Zambia. You've been living here. The likelihood of you being somebody from a different race is very little. Let's be honest. Okay. Unless maybe you're like our friends who are abroad, then yeah, you know, you might stumble upon somebody that's different. That's beautiful. Amen. It's okay. It's okay. No problem. But you know, sometimes the idea that if I'm with somebody of a different race, so my life is going, don't deceive yourself like that. Because some of us, let me keep on mentioning, some of us have weird expectations of even men and women. I want this man to be like this. I want this man to be like that. I want this woman to be, I want her to have a flat tummy and she always has to be on point. She always has to be like this. She always have to be like that. And then you get married, the woman now has a baby. You're gonna have a challenge because the lady's literally experiencing change in her life. So if we have this video, you just have to be like this. You're gonna have a problem. Praise the Lord, you're gonna have a problem. So there's no person who's perfect, even you're not perfect. So just accept. Four men have asked you out, you keep on saying no. Why? What are you waiting for? And there are some of us who've had all these weird, or maybe we've had experiences in this life. No, people of God. No. Don't have unrealistic expectations. That's why if you're gonna get into a relationship, talk about what you expect and don't make somebody start suffering over unreal things. Okay? So when people are engaging in wishful thinking, it doesn't help. It really doesn't help. So sometimes there's this dream like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So even when you're planning, even when you want to do certain things, that's why tomorrow we'll be looking at objectives. Objectives are the things you need to do in order to get to the place where you want to get. Okay. Yes. So let me give another example. Somebody has mentioned what wishful thinking is. I'm not talking about relationship this time. So I'll give another example. Maybe you want to start a business. And for you just keep dreaming. Now, I'll tell you something. When I'm thinking about IBS, I have this imagination. Literally, whatever we're doing here is out of my imagination. You should be able to imagine, right? So it's in your mind. And then I'm thinking, this is where we want to go. But some people, they don't get beyond their dreams. Okay, for instance, somebody says, I want to have a master's one day. Like you're just thinking, I want to get a master's, but then now, what do you need to do in order for you to get the master's? What do you need to do in order to enroll for this program? Are you just dreaming that I wish I could get a master's? I wish I could get more educated. And then how are you spending your time? Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to study? And then with your current stage of life right now, will you be able to manage studying while doing whatever else you're doing? Praise the Lord. Mr. Anthony, you have a question. What did you ask? How do you know what exactly? How do you know how to choose a person? Is that what you're asking? So I think you guys like relationships. Next month we'll be talking about relationships. So we'll answer all your questions. But I just want to know what you mean. Okay, so as you type, let me go to the next one. The next one is living with indecision. The reason why people fail to get to where they want to get is living with indecision. You need to make a decision. Praise the Lord. Some of us have been wanting to start business for a long time. You keep saying, oh, I'll start, I'll start. Some of us have been wanting to do this thing. Oh, I'll start, I'll start, I'll start. It's been 2 years, 2 years go to five, and then it goes to 10 years. Amen. James 1, verse 8, the Bible says, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Indecisiveness carries over into all areas of life. Amen. If you can't make a decision, five guys have asked you out. You have to choose one. You can't choose all. Gentlemen, there's three ladies you know who like you. You can't date them all. You choose one. Praise the Lord. You can't know the thing is they all like me. No. You choose one. You have to make a choice. Praise the Lord. Indecision is very terrible. It makes you not get to where you need to get. That's why, for those of you who work closely with me, if I tell you, hey, let's do this, I want you to make a plan. For those of you who are leaders in IBS, start making plans. You know me. Once we say we're doing this, sharp, sharp, we've planned, we've made a decision. So we're not going to start waiting. Oh, no. You have to make the decision because the longer you keep trying, am I making? What do I need to do? Just make the decision. Don't worry too much about where you are right now. A lot of things work out by just saying, I'm going to start. When we started IBS, we were very few, ladies and gentlemen. To get numbers like 20 or above 20, oh, would have meetings where it's just the four of us. Michelle remembers, we'd have meetings where it's just the four of us and we'll be laughing around, but we just started. Praise the Lord. So wherever you are, just start. Don't live with indecision. Amen. Okay, let's move on. You guys are funny. The next one is making excuses. Making excuses. So sometimes we know what we should be doing, but we are hesitant to take that first step. Praise the Lord. You are hesitant. You keep making excuses. No, the thing is, he's short. That's why I can't be in a relationship with him. Oh, what? Hello, you need a balance in life. Short men need to be in relationships as well. You can't have short men with tall women and then tall women. There should be balance in life. Okay, so I don't have. Don't be stuck on too many physical things. Ladies and gentlemen, physical qualities, they're not as important as you think they are in the long run. Do you understand? They're not as important as you think they are because you're not living with the height. You're not living with the beard. You're not living with the blue eyes. You're living with the whole character who has a personality and moods and attitudes, a spirituality. You don't know if this person is a witch or not. But not because it's tall, it's got nice eyes. So, hey, we're going to have beautiful babies. And then you don't know that you like a ritualist. Because how do you know with blue eyes? How do you know that this person is from is a court guy, is the court master? No, guys, please. Making excuses. I'm going to start my business when I have 20,000 kwacha. I'm going to start this when I have 2,000 kwacha. Just start. If you keep making excuses, you're never going to do what you want to do. You want to lose weight? No, you know what? It's been raining, so I can't exercise. Because it rains every day. After it stops raining, there'll be another excuse. No, it's too hot. The thing is, it's too hot. No, it's too cold. I can't go outside. So you have a problem with the weather. Praise the Lord. No. Just start. Another one, trying to do everything. Amen. So, Arlene, I need to know what you want to start. Do you want to start a relationship, a business? What are you starting? So we need to know what you're starting so that we can help you with what you want to start. You want to start a business. Okay, let's have a conversation. Yes, so that we know what's there, right? We know what you have, we know what your clientele is, what you're selling, and then if you've done research on who your clients are, right? So that we know. So let's have a conversation. And then the people who do business here, Yvonne does business, Winnie does business. So also just consult with them. They can help you in as much as the businesses might be different, the principles are still the same. So you can learn one or two things, right? Okay. Yvonne. So another one is trying to do everything. Okay. So a common reason why sometimes people don't get to where they're meant to get is because you are just trying to do everything. Let me do everything. Let me do everything. No, I need to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. Now, the truth is, we are all multifaceted. But when it comes to what God has given you to do, you need to also know, okay, what do I need to focus on right now? And then, have I built my capacity to actually manage all these things? Remember the story of the talents. The Bible says he gave them according to their ability. So don't put more on you than you can already handle. Praise the Lord. Just stick to what you're doing. I promise you, you can be successful in whatever God has given you to do. But sometimes it's because maybe we don't understand what success is. Other times it's because we think I'll only be successful if I'm doing what that other person is doing. Right? So don't try to do everything. Just do one at a time and always consult with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we understanding the message tonight? So we are almost done. So I'm going to give like a few minutes for questions because I feel like there are many people with questions in the chat. Just 10 minutes after the meeting, those of you who have questions, you can ask me questions, and I'm not going to record the last part of the meeting, right? Okay, so let's move on. So we are now on not recognizing the cost of vision. So the second obstacle to fulfilling vision is not recognizing the cost of accomplishing it. Amen. Some people feel like there's some who are born to be successful than others. Some people feel like, oh, because I'm black, I can't be successful. Some people feel like, oh, because of my family background, because I'm a woman, because I'm a young man, because I'm this. So many reasons, right? Another, oh, because we are cursed in the family. All these things make people not do anything about their lives. It costs, vision costs. One of the costs of vision is diligence. When we start the year, Aline is interesting tonight. When you start the year, right, in January, for instance, everybody's excited. I have set goals, I have objectives, the things that I want to do. Now, the thing is, are you going to be consistent with what you decided to do? Because everybody starts, hey, I'm exercising, then along the way, it starts to dwindle. Along the way, I don't have the energy that I need. Praise the Lord. So sometimes people start and then they stop. Have you ever met people like that? Every year they start something new. I'm starting business. They start this business, they stop. They start another business, they stop. The business has not even been given chance to grow. Oh no, business is hard. No, you need to be diligent. You need to stick with what God has given you. Look, when you're starting out, it's usually very hard. Truthfully, but you have to stick with it because if you keep changing, you don't give your business a chance. Amen. So don't believe in shortcuts. Oh no, by next week. No. Be diligent. Okay. So let's look at some of these things. Another reason why people fail to do what they're meant to do, blaming bad luck. Have you ever met people who are always blaming certain things? Oh no, I'm just not lucky. The thing is, you are lucky. No, the thing is, you were born in a rich family. I don't come from much. That's why I'm not able to do these things. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have such kinds of mindsets, you're never going to do anything. If you want, okay, if you want, Go and study every person, study both believers, even non-believers. Go and study how a lot of them started out. It's not everybody that started out with so much. Maybe some, yes, they had maybe certain financial backing. But I'm just trying to tell you that every person has reasons not to do what they're meant to do. I promise you, there is a reason for you not to do what God wants you to do. Whether you have money or not, there's a reason. You can have the money, but then you're thinking, oh, the thing is, am I investing the right thing? Am I? There's always going to be a reason. So when you're saying I'm blaming bad luck, you're never going to get anywhere. Another one is blaming outside forces. And these are some of them. You know, my parents never educated me. That's why I'm poor. My parents never sent me to school. That's why I'm poor. My friends abandoned me. That's why I'm poor. No, in our family. And a lot of these things come from us Africans, eh? Let me share something with you. For all of us, because majority of us are African here, right? For all of us in your family, number one, let me share some wisdom. Number one, you can't solve every relative's problem because you have money. Even if you're so rich, you can't solve every relative's problem. So settle that in your mind that in as much as I'm growing and I'm having money, you can't solve every relative's problem. You can't educate all your siblings. You can't educate all your cousins. And I think sometimes people are afraid to have those conversations, even with relatives, because when you say that, it's like, oh, I've neglected my family members. No. Don't kill yourself because people have these expectations of you in your family. No. That's not how you're going to get to where you need to get. Praise the Lord. If you keep using your family as a reason why you can't get to where you're getting, you are allowing people in your life to control you at all times. Each time it's month end, a relative should be asking you for money. Why? Why can't they go out and start looking for what to do? This is what I mean. So these are the challenges I see in a lot of African homes. And people hesitant to start talking about these kinds of things. I'll be honest with you, eh? I've had situations like those where a cousin of mine only calls me because they want money. And then they call me because they are in a jam, right? So let's call Robbie. Now, number one, I don't know why you put yourself in that situation. You made your own choices to get there. When you're making those choices, you didn't include me. Now that you're stuck, you feel the need to include me so that we can come and manage that problem. No, the thing is, I was doing this, so I need a quick 500. And then I'm there. Oh, okay. I'll ask questions. So what were you doing? How did you get there? Let's understand how you got to this place. And then when they get there, I just say, no, thank you very much. Have a good day. And you move on with your life. Okay, so don't take upon yourselves things that God has not given you to take upon. No, praise the Lord. If God has given you those kind of resources, well and good. But sometimes all these things, no, my family members, look at what the Bible says in James 1, verse 17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change the shifting of shadows. So when you're blaming outside forces, you're always going to be a victim. Do you see? Whatever God has invested in you, he wants to see it used. Okay? God has placed this wisdom in you. Use it. Amen. So don't have this victim mentality. Joseph in the Bible could have had that mentality when his family neglected him, abandoned him, and sold him to the Egyptians. He became a slave. As if that's not enough. He moves on, somebody accuses him, and he becomes a prisoner. But he was not a victim, even in that situation. So don't become a victim in your life. It doesn't help. Praise the Lord. Even if whatever happened is true, you have to learn to move on. Yes, what they did was bad. We sympathize with you, but you have to move on. No, I can't move on because this guy, hey, the guy has become your God. Is that it? No, ladies and gentlemen, move on because this girl messed me up. Please move on, eh? Yeah, just move on. Just move on. Yeah. Okay. The last one, number three, not knowing the principles for fulfilling vision. So the third obstacle, pardon me, to accomplishing vision is not knowing the principles for fulfilling it. You need to know the principles. So let your life be fueled by vision. Amen. Okay, questions to ask. So I'm winding up and then we're gonna end the recording and I'll stick around for 10 minutes for those of you who have questions. Aline, you have to stay. You have questions, so ask your questions and I'll answer. All right? Yeah, because I'm seeing a whole lot of conversations in the chat. Okay, so questions to fulfilling your vision. Number one, what do you think? And I want us to pay attention here. What do you think is your greatest obstacle to pursuing and completing your vision? These are things to think about. What do you think is the greatest obstacle? And then number two, what steps can you take to begin to overcome that obstacle? Okay, and this is after you've defined what you're meant to do. That's why I keep mentioning, write down the vision, write down the goals, write it down. And tomorrow, I'll be sharing objectives and goals. I want everybody to join the meeting because it will help you in how to actually do these things. Amen. So, what steps are you taking? Have you distinguished between what a mission is, what a vision is? Will you trust that your life is under God's purposes? Somebody has mentioned unknown fear. Fear is a spirit. The Bible says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. There's always, look, in the life we live in today, there's always something to be anxious about, but you have to learn to trust in the Lord. Your confidence is in the Lord. That's how Paul would say, I can do all things. But there's a context. He says, through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. So I'm not doing things out of my own strength and resources. No, there's a context. I'm in God. So because I'm in God, I can do everything I'm meant to do. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for such an amazing time in your presence. Lord, I pray for everyone that listens in. The Lord, you give them the energy. You give them, Almighty God, the perseverance, the endurance, and everything they need, oh God, in order to fulfill that vision. In Jesus' name, oh God, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord.